Hello, everyone. Come on in. Started in just a moment. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. All right. Hi. I'm just going to bring Coach Lisa up. Welcome. Hello, Gloria in rainy SoCal. You were the first person I saw. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Hi, I'm Coach Julie. We are here for the body image and sex call. Yay. So happy you're here. Coach Lisa's in the chat. Both of us are here to support you in any way possible. So we're going to follow our regular old, now you're used to it schedule. I'm going to talk about a topic for a few minutes. And you can put questions in the Q&A and I will answer them. And you can raise your hand to be coached. Now, I just want to tell you, we always have to beg you guys to raise your hands because of this topic. Yes, Diana, you already raised your hand. Good. Diana, you only have to wait a couple minutes because I'm going to talk really quick about a subject that's very close to my heart. And then we will get started. So I am so happy you're here. When I decided to talk about sexual dysfunction and disinterest, I wanted to start right away with this topic is near and dear to me because the no BS women that I work with one-on-one that are working on sex and relationships, they universally make situations about themselves, their disinterest, their physical dysfunction, you name it, they make it mean something about them. And most no BS women tie it somehow to their body and weight. So that's what made me want to talk about this specifically today. Now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physician. So if you find any of the things I'm about to talk to you about really ring true for you, I want you to know that you can take any of them to your physician and get medical guidance. This is really for information's sake to normalize what so many of us experience. So in the meantime, you can put questions in the Q&A, raise your hand to get coached, and we'll jump right into that in just a couple minutes. So, the reason I wanted to talk about dysfunction and disinterest is exactly what I just said. So, what is that? We all know what that is for penis owners, erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation. We're not even going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it as it relates to vulva owners, us. So, sexual dysfunction refers to the difficulties or problems that interfere with an individual's ability to experience sexual satisfaction and engage in sexual activity. So that can manifest in various ways and affect different aspects of sexual function. I'm just going to touch on some today, but libido, arousal, orgasm, sexual pain, and all of those can have a physical, a psychological, and a relational cause. So let's go for it here. For vulva owners, low libido, is the decreased or absent interest in sexual activity, often causing distress for some people, certainly relationship difficulties. Low libido can be influenced by a bunch of stuff, but hormonal imbalances, relationship issues, stress, psychological factors. And I'm going to go into a few more details in a little bit, but I want you to know if you are just a vulva owner that is not interested in sex and you're good with that, that's fine. I'm not talking to you in this regard. That's fine. You do not have to want sex or any of it. But if you do want it and you notice you have a decrease or absence of interest in it, that's really what I'm talking about here. Not for those of you who are choosing due to physical reasons or emotional reasons to not be sexually active. So there's low libido, there's orgasmic disorders, and though that really is truly just a difficulty achieving orgasm or delayed orgasm despite like adequate amount of time for stimulation. And that is really important because it takes a certain amount of time for your body to be ready, like 20 minutes for a vulva to get fully engorged with blood and be ready to receive any sort of penetration with a digit, with a toy, with anything. And as we age, the time takes longer. And oftentimes, we ourselves, or if we're partnered, don't take that time. So when you think about like delayed orgasm, that there can be tons of factors that are physical associated with your vulva, with your vagina, that can cause that, like nerve damage, even psychological factors like anxiety or trauma. And here's the thing, medications too. So I'm going to give you a list of some medications that can affect your ability or inability to have an orgasm. So this list is not fully inclusive of everything. It is just like these are some, but we're not limited to this list. Antidepressants like SSRIs and SNRIs. So those are commonly prescribed for depression and anxiety. Antipsychotic medicine. So if you have bipolar or schizophrenia, like a lot of the medicines for antipsychotic medications can affect your orgasm or sexual desire. Antihypertensive medication, so blood pressure medication, some hormonal medications like hormonal contraceptives, certain drugs for menopause, certain drugs for cancer, anticonvulsants, opioids, chemotherapy drugs. Okay, so why am I even bringing this up when I'm not even a doctor? Because every one of us takes something, prescribes something, has, depression, has high blood pressure. We're so many no BS women are going into menopause, are in menopause. Lots of us are cancer survivors, have done chemotherapy, have done radiation. Like so many things that we do in our physical world can affect our orgasm. And all of us, like universally inside of no BS, so I shouldn't say all, that's not fair. Many of us, we immediately think it's about our weight, our body, our desire. Okay, so it really is essential to discuss any concerns you have about sexual side effects. If you are taking medications in any of those categories and then some, check with your healthcare provider if you are having a response that is no interest, low interest, no ability to have an orgasm, pain when you're having sex. I don't care what it is when it comes to this, you have a right to receive and pleasure in your own human body. And I want you to take any of those things to your medical healthcare provider. And they might be able to adjust medication. They might be able to talk to you about other ways to support yourself. They may not be the right doctor for you too. There are professionals that will absolutely address these things with you if you bring them to them. Excuse me. So we talked about low libido. We talked about orgasmic disorder. There's also sexual pain disorders, which I just mentioned, which is pain during intercourse or pain during penetration of any kind. Vaginismus, which is like an involuntary muscle spasm that makes any sort of penetration very difficult, sometimes nearly impossible, sometimes impossible. So before you do any other thing that we talk about here, and you're having a symptom like that, definitely talk to your healthcare provider. But those conditions that I just outlined, they also have psychological, physical, and relational like effects. So I want you to just notice it's really normal if you're experiencing any of that stuff. It's normal that it impacts you. It's normal that it's affecting your sexual function. So, okay, if you have any of that, you've talked to a healthcare provider. And I just want you to know, it's like there are stigmas about talking to professionals about this, but this is one of the reasons we do this. We're bringing a voice to women so you can go forward and take action in your lives on these things. There's nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. These are normal things. They're normal. And it's normal to need help with them. Okay. So if you've seen a physician and your body is safe, then there's ways to kind of empower yourself through self-exploration. Addressing your own sexual dysfunction or disinterest, exploring desire, figuring out your preferences, learning about your own boundaries, creating an open, if you happen to be partnered, an open dialogue with a partner. If you are dating, open dialogue with the person you're dating. If you are having casual sex with someone, enough conversation so you get your needs met. Okay. Disinterest in sex. So we just talked about dysfunction. Disinterest, which is kind of known as low libido or hypoactive sexual desire, causes of that are really similar. And there's some other factors. So I'm not going to repeat all the things I said, but there's psychological factors like stress, anxiety, depression, relationship issues, past trauma, body image concerns, right? All of those things can decrease your interest in sex because you're avoiding dealing with reality. Medications again, medical conditions again, all the same. Lifestyle factors. So I want you to hear these. Poor sleep, excessive alcohol, substance abuse, lack of exercise, and a diet that like doesn't support an active libido. All of these things are like practically addressed. There's a couple that aren't, but most of them are addressed in the basics. Like the four basics could be the four basics of sex too, right? And then, okay, so what else makes disinterest? Hormonal fluctuations. And there's a lot of reasons for those, but like menopause, pregnancy, breastfeeding, aging, fatigue, stress, your lifestyle, work demands, if you're a caregiver, right? All of that can lead to fatigue and stress, which can dampen your sexual desire. Cultural and religious factors can play a role, societal norms, cultural beliefs, religious teachings about, when and how you should be doing it and what you should be interested in. Like, literally, just understanding the causes of your own, like, low libido, low desire is essential for addressing any sort of issues effectively. And the same thing goes, I'm going to end with it. Consult your healthcare provider or a therapist, or if everything medically is okay and you just want to work on it, I'm here at No BS. But don't let yourself not have it if fulfilling sex and intimate life, if you want to choose one, there's things that can be done. And then, like, I want to make sure you know too that then it's like communication becomes a factor. So if either partner is experiencing any of these things, it's all about clear communication and opening the door to dialogue, like self-advocating and encouraging your partner to be willing to step forward and talk about it. Nothing can change if no one will talk about it. And I'm leading the way here with you right now, talking about it myself. And you are leading the way by continuing this conversation here. So thank you. Has anybody here experienced any of that? Give me an emoji. I would emoji like a bunch right now if I could. Diana, I'm going to bring you up. Thank you. Yes, exactly. Okay, Diana. Oh, Diana put her hand down. All right. No one. Oh, there she is. I see. Zoom with a little slow-mo. Hi, Diana.
Hi.
It's all on me. I'm like a Zoom novice tonight for some reason. Sorry about that. What
That's
are
okay. I'm sure my video is going to be a pain in the ass because of my Wi-Fi, but we'll see.
You're good. What are you working on?
So this is thank you for your opening message because for me it's not me, but I underscored communication. It's my husband and I've tried bringing things up, so maybe next month I'll join to talk about that. But I actually have, I kind of feel bad. I have a body image thing, not a sex thing. So hopefully
That's
that's okay.
okay. Yes, it's all things. Go. You tell me, what's your body image?
So, I never thought I had a body image issue, but some things have creeped up recently. I'm about to celebrate my 55th birthday, and I decided about 10 months ago. What I really want to learn is paddle boarding, but I can barely get up off the floor on ground.
Yeah.
So I figure it would be really challenging in water. So I have kind of compromised with kayaking.
Okay.
And I was all in doing this. I want to rent a kayak. I've got my family. I told them for my birthday in May that this is what I want to do. But suddenly, now that we're getting closer to the end of May, I'm a legacy member. I really didn't get my shit together until August of 22, but I have been gaining and losing like the same 8 pounds. But I'm
Okay.
learning a shit ton, so I'm fine. But lately, I'm starting to. I have a tendency to insert comic relief when I'm uncomfortable. And so, in telling the story of doing this kayaking, when I talk to people about doing it, I joke that when I sit down in the kayak, it's going to be engulfed in water and I'm going to tip over into the water and like fall out. And I can swim, so that would be fine. But I am petrified that people will make fun of me. And I actually cried a little when I thought about it this morning because I remembered like when I was 9 or 10 being in elementary school, and I remember this boy's first and last name, and he mouthed, "You're fat," to me. I've had two instances in my life of people, well, and my mother made my weight an issue every single day while she was alive. But the second thing happened about 10 years ago. I was walking into a store and a guy leaned out of his window and he yelled, like, "Hey, fat ass, move it or get out of the way," or and I like the boy in elementary school, like I had really not thought of that until this morning. Like, and why it was so long ago. Why is that a thing? And the guy who yelled out of the window, why am I making that a thing? I don't even know who he is. He clearly was, not taught to, you just don't yell shit like that out your car window. But I'm nervous. I even looked up the weight limit for these sit-on kayaks, and they do have them. And I'm about, the weight was like, I think it said 320, and I'm, 90 pounds away from that. So, I'm fine, but I'm just starting to wonder. I kind of live small because of my size. I'm assertive. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not articulating.
Okay.
I have conflicting. What is that? What is that
So
called
I
when you
want
have
you to take a
conflicting?
deep breath. Take a deep breath. It's okay. It really is okay.
Like the vest, like, are they going to have a vest that fits me? I just have all these things.
Yeah.
It's something I really want to do because
Yeah.
I live small. I stay in my little world in my bubble, and
Yeah.
most people that know me wouldn't, they'd be like, God,
So
what?
let's talk about this for a minute. So the version of you with the little boy, right? How did she feel when he said that,
Oh, I
when he announced
was so shamed and embarrassed,
that? Yeah.
because by that point, I was like, if I knew people were watching me, I was sucking in, you know, and I wasn't obese. I
Yeah,
was a little bit heavy,
but you
but
believed him.
I believed him, and my family didn't help. At that point, I was probably in 3 to 4 years of being sexually abused by my stepfather, and my mother didn't take my side, you know, and she made sure that, you know, I deserved that attention. And, you know, it was just a constant ridicule. I was the black sheep of the family because he was my stepfather, but my brother, who was 14 months younger than me, was his child. So I think I was like a constant reminder to her that, you know, I had a different father and she wasn't with him anymore. I mean, I can't, I'm speculating, but from a very young age, I was shamed about my body.
Yeah.
And, you know, that boy saying that to me, no, I looked around to see if anybody saw, but I don't know. It just.
Let's pause for 1 minute. Like, just that you had that experience in your family is so profound. I'm so sorry you experienced that. And I hope as an adult, you've gotten all the support
I
you need
have.
through it.
Yep.
Good. I just didn't want to let that go.
No, it
So that
certainly doesn't define who I am today.
good.
It's made me very powerful. Which is why I don't
Good.
understand why I can't get in a kayak.
Yeah, because you still see that little boy mouthing that word, and you still believe it.
Yeah.
You're not
Well, I
telling
haven't
a
lost
different
weight.
story, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm a heavy person about to get into this plastic thing
Well, but let's
that.
stop there, right? Let's talk about reality, because that's the shitty version of your story. But the reality is you are 90 pounds under the weight limit. And you told us the weight limit was 300 pounds, right?
320.
320. So we all know what your weight
Did
is.
I do the math right? Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm
It
right.
doesn't matter. The math doesn't matter. You are a totally normal weight to go kayaking.
Am I,
Aren't
though?
you?
I
Why
don't
are we
know, because kayaking is
telling
not,
ourselves this story?
it's not something I do, so I don't know what a normal kayaker looks like. I
Yeah.
don't know.
A normal kayaker looks like you and every other body that wants to get on a kayak. There are kayaks for 400-pound people. There are kayaks for 200-pound people and every pound in between. And you get to be a kayaker. And it doesn't matter what size person gets on a kayak, some people tip over and get wet.
I just don't want the people working there at the rental place to like laugh at me. And
But
I
you're doing
normally
it to
don't
yourself
worry.
already, Diana. You're doing it to yourself already.
Yeah, I
You
know.
hold on.
You're
You
right.
literally said to me, I deflect with laughter, so I'm telling these jokes. So you're calling the attention to your body, to everybody you know, telling this joke to create laughter for yourself because you already are telling yourself this story. It doesn't matter what the kayaker employees do because you're doing it now.
But I'm worried about them.
Yeah, you're worried about them, but you're missing the fact that you're already telling yourself the things that you think they might think. You're already saying them to you and you're handling it fine. You're still going kayaking.
I think I'm going.
You think you're going to cancel?
I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to
Then
prove to
what's the
myself
answer?
that I can get in it.
What's the answer?
I'm gonna go.
You're going.
I'm scared. I'm
Yes,
so
that's
scared.
fair. Yes. Okay. Can you be scared and do it anyway?
I don't know because I'm afraid that I'm gonna make an ass out of myself.
Okay, let's go there. Let's go there. You make a jackass out of yourself. You fall over. You tell everyone about it. Everybody laughs. Boom. Now what?
I get out, I swim out of the water. I
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
I probably run to the car, except I can't run, so walk very fast.
okay, and
I'd survive.
yeah, and you know what you would do? You'd go tell everyone that it happened and joke about it.
Right.
Because that's your style. There, that's the worst that's going to happen. Now, we've entertained that. What's the best that's going to happen?
I'll be able to get in it without flopping and submerging.
Oh no, I'm not letting you get away with this shit. No, we're talking about the best that's gonna happen. What is the best that's
Oh,
gonna happen?
okay. The best scenario,
Yeah.
I go, I get in the kayak. I'm gonna rent it for an hour because I don't know how I'll
Okay.
do.
Yes.
And I just tool around the lake with my family, and I get out. Hopefully they provide some instruction and I can get out of the kayak without incident.
They will.
And I love it, and maybe this is the start of something that I think I can do to get myself out more.
And you've lived your dream because this is something you've wanted to do.
I have wanted to do this for a long time.
Yes, ma'am. I like want you to know you've gotten all kinds of advice in the chat. So when this poll posts on Tuesday, you're going to want to gather the chat
Okay.
because there's kayakers of all different sizes in the chat giving you all kinds of crazy fun advice. But I just want you to know, like right now, you are entertaining all the negative, right? Like you're
Am.
going there. It's okay to be afraid. You notice we're not even trying to change your fear. You
No,
can
and
be afraid.
no, I can't change it. I know because I've never done it. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So
So you're gonna be
I,
afraid and you're gonna kayak anyway.
yeah. And I'm not afraid of water. Like if I do happen to fall in or something, it's fine. You
Okay.
know, I
When
can
is this
swim.
happening, Diana?
What's this?
When is this happening?
So I'm trying to do it on my actual birthday on the 26th of May.
Okay.
So, but I thought I would be a lot less in weight by then.
Oh, well,
But I've
there's
been
still
dickering
time.
around.
There's still time. I'm writing your
There is.
first
I'm not
and
going to
last
put
name.
that pressure on myself. I just try to do the four basics, and I'm right now my goal is to put my fork down between bites. Like
Okay.
that's
Do
all I can do.
that. Do that and be a kayaker at whatever weight you weigh on that day.
Yeah.
And then on the 27th, or maybe like a couple days later, but soon after, come to the Facebook group. Tell us how it is. Give us a picture. Something.
I will.
We are all rooting for you on this.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Thank
I
you so
appreciate
much.
it.
Yeah, you got this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Bye. So good. So good. You like can do it. I'm promoting K. And since we're talking about body image, and I haven't talked about it for a little while, but any legacy members know I'm a competitive stair climber. And I started doing that in the, I don't know, like 350 pound range. And so I've climbed some of the tallest buildings in the Western Hemisphere, including One World Trade Center. And I really met myself in the stairwell. Every shitty thought I ever thought about myself, I heard in those stairwells, and I felt so much fear and did it anyway. And you know what? Diana can too, and you can too, about anything in your life. Don't let your weight stop you. All right, Kay. Oops. Hi, Kay.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. I had a it's a body image issue that kind of leads into sex. I'm going through menopause right now, and it's kind of wreaking havoc on my body. And I'm growing like hair on my chin more than I ever did. Like it's gotten to a point where I don't even know where it's coming from. It's just a lot. It's more than, just usual kind of thing where you just do a cream. Now it's gotten like hard and stuff like that. And then also there's the vaginal dryness, and my husband and I always had a robust sex life. We enjoy sex, but with the hair, it's like it makes me feel like I'm not sexy. I guess I get self-conscious about it, and like he may be interested or I may be interested, but then I'm like, well, oh no, wait a second, I gotta get the hair cream because I can't let them see me like this. We've been together for like over 30 years. He seen me give birth. So, and I don't know why.
Can we, I just hold space for that for a minute? Like, you don't want him to see a hair on your chin, but he watched you give birth. I love that.
But that
So
isn't,
human.
that's it, because it's just another issue where it just kind of feels like I'm not myself. And it just kind of feels like my body's like fighting against me. It's just one more battle.
Well,
And
so it's interesting though, because like it is yourself, because it's you. It's just a version of you that you're not in partnership with yet, right? Like you're kind of rejecting this version of you.
yeah, because I don't want that version. I want me back. I
Oh my
want
gosh.
myself.
You are not alone. You are not alone. Okay. You're
Comes
not alone.
up.
But the how helpful do you think it is to tell yourself, no, I don't want that version. I want me back.
It feels true. I mean,
100%.
that's
I understand
true.
it's true. Oh, I'm not questioning the truth of it, but how helpful do you think it is to self-acceptance, to intimacy with your husband?
It's not helpful. Yeah, it's not helpful. It's just then I worry about, I worry about, is he still gonna find me sexy? With 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah, that's yeah. Is he still going? I don't feel sexy. I feel self-conscious of.
So it almost doesn't matter what he thinks because he's ready to get it on, and you're like, I need to go do the cream.
Yes.
So we already, like, he's sitting next to you on the couch or something.
Is now you know what I mean? Like,
Like, before this happens, where is this scenario most likely happening?
couch or in our bedroom, or
Yeah.
yeah, we're
So,
just there, and
okay.
And I'm like, oh no, I've got, I've got, because, when you're in some positions, he could see my chin more than versus other positions.
Okay, but let's talk about it for real, like straight talk. You're on the couch. You haven't done the cream. He can see it now.
I think he can.
You think he can?
I don't think he can see it on the couch.
Are you sure?
I think he can see it better if we're in a position, certain positions when we're intimate. But I think like on the couch, I don't think he's seeing it, because I still keep, I pluck and things like that. But sometimes, underneath, it kind of may get a little, I can feel it there. But I guess you're saying he's seeing it and doesn't care. I think he does.
He sees you. Like, does he kiss you in it with the light on ever?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys hug each other?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you like ever cook dinner or hang out together?
Yeah. Yeah, every day.
Okay. Like, he sees it. He doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Your brain says it's under your chin enough he can't see it.
Yes. Yeah.
I get it. Let me tell you, I get it. But he sees it. It's there. So just imagine that's possible. Let's imagine for a minute you're not fooling him at all. And he's still interested. He's like, let's get it on. I don't need the cream. Can you imagine that's possible?
It's probably true.
Right. Because we want to eliminate him from the conversation, because he's fine. I can pretty much promise you, he's like, let's get it on. I'm not really thinking about your chin if I'm asking you to have sex.
Yeah, he's thinking about, and that's the other issue where, because of menopause, I need another type of cream for that.
I understand. Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's like, all right, even if I'm not worried about the visuals, then there's the practical part about, I got to go to the bathroom for that cream. And it just kind of, to me, it kind of starts to kill kind of like the spontaneity a little bit. I don't know.
And I think that you're getting a little more to the core of the issue, right? Your mindset about your body changing, which takes us kind of full circle to you're kind of rejecting the human body that you are now and really wanting the old version of you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's something that you just gotta, I already know. Yeah. I'm not going to get, the 20-year-old or 30-year-old body back, or,
Or less chin hair, or natural lubricant, right? Like, absolutely. But here's the thing, the longer you like reject, like in essence, you're arguing with the reality of your human body. The longer you do that, the less sex and intimacy you're getting and the less pleasure. And also, let's be real, there's some great like stuff that happens for your body when you have sex, like relaxation and stress relief. There's some good stuff. So you're kind of building up this rejection of your own body and then pent up not getting your needs satisfied, no connection. So I want to go right back to it, and it's like, do you want to continue rejecting your human body?
No. I guess I'm just grieving where I was and where I'm at.
Yes.
They disagree for something.
Yes. So I think
where I was, that's just not happening,
Yeah.
But that's not where my body's going.
So that's a very different story. Like, I don't want to accept where I am. I want to be what I was, is where we started. And now you're like, I'm grieving what I lost, but also I want to encourage you to like learn to accept who you are and appreciate the parts of you that are good.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you think you could do that? Like, what's one thing you're willing to do?
In terms of acceptance?
Yes, first acceptance, yes.
One thing I'm willing to do.
Or one thing you're willing to think, either way.
Probably just accept the reality that he doesn't care, you know, when he's, you know, about, I mean, he cares about me, but not the hair. That's not going to, at least for him, that's not something that's like, you know, a stopper for him. He's not going to be like, oh no, wait a second, you got a hair here.
Okay, so you're going to practice believing that he doesn't care. He just wants to get it on. And you're going to learn how to buy into that belief while you finish grieving what you've lost.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can just, because that's realistic. I can see that.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's just kind of like just a comfort thing in terms of how I feel about myself.
Yeah. So if you are looking for a comfort thing for yourself, is there a routine around your chin hair that you could like implement so that you're just sort of like addressing it on kind of a regular basis in a way that doesn't make you have to respond to it right at the point that he's like, let's get it on?
I mean, before it started getting like really harsh and stuff like that, I would just, you know, do it like maybe once or twice a week, and it just would be kind of, but it's gotten to a point where I think I have to go to a dermatologist. And I think that probably should be it. I just got to go to a dermatologist.
And see what your options are, like laser or whatever.
Yeah, to see what my options are there so that I don't have to, I could take it off the table for something that I'm worried about or even thinking about. So
that sounds so proactive. And in the meantime, I do really want to support you though, just grieving. You have changed. You did lose something that was very important to you. So that's okay. There's a difference between grieving what you lost though and rejecting what you are.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I don't say that enough.
Okay, you have a plan forward. Do you feel comfortable with where you're at?
Yeah, I think I feel comfortable where I'm at in terms of what the plan is.
Okay.
Dealing with that and just realizing there's really no reason for that to mess up sex.
And, yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen to that. Yes. All right. Okay. Thank you so much for raising your hand. You're not alone. Anybody who's on this call that has any sort of hair in a place they would like to not have one, give her an emoji. Because I'm telling you, like, I could shave a beard every day. I'm telling you the truth. If you got close to the camera, you'd be like, did you deal with that this morning?
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You're just saying, you know, he sees it every day.
I know for a fact because I experience it. And I also have a partner that just wants to get it on and doesn't really care.
True. And that's
all right, Kay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Rianne. I'm promoting you. That was so good. And like, I absolutely like appreciate the honesty here that we are creating with each other. Thank you, Kay, and everyone. Diana. Hi, Rianne.
Can you see me and hear me?
I can't see you. I can hear you. I'll ask you to start your video, but it's not a deal breaker. And I do want to just say to everyone here, there are a few questions in the Q&A, and there are four right now. So I will get to them. We will run a couple minutes long if I have to. Hi, good to see you.
Hi. Nice to see you too. I'm hiding in my car.
I can see the trees. It looks like home.
Right? Pacific Northwest.
Whoop, whoop. Okay. What's going on for you, Rianne?
Well, it's Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan. I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's I get it all. Rianne, Rain.
Rain. Ooh, Rain. Ryan. Got it. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. So I'm listening to all of you guys, and I am 45. My husband is 43.
Okay.
And I am like premenopausal, and like in my 40s, I'm wanting sex more than I did in my 20s.
Yeah.
And since he's had a vasectomy, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, sex has not been really that much, and or in the last 2 years or more has been none because he claims he cannot do it. But this is might be TMI, but when I have to clean the shower, I can tell something's happening because I'm cleaning it up, which is not fair because, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just, I saw your post on Facebook and I was like, well, I'm just going to hop on and see what happens.
I'm glad you did, Ryan. Like, okay, so let's talk about it. We don't know if he actually has dysfunction or not, but I do want you to know this. Like, when a man has dysfunction, it doesn't mean he can't do it for himself.
Right.
And so, and it also doesn't mean it's anything about you personally or your attraction or any of that. It means he has a controlled environment and he knows exactly how to do it. And so he can do it for himself, and that's enough because he probably most likely doesn't want to face the reality of how it works with you.
Right. Yeah. Because we've tried and he can't get completely hard.
Yes.
And so, but I think he just gave up because he was embarrassed, and which I totally understand. But at the same time, it's super frustrating because that's like a big piece of connection.
Yeah.
And he's not really a physical person outside the bedroom. And he's, our lives have been so crazy with selling my mom's house and burying my dad and buying a new house. And so it's pretty stressful. So that doesn't help the situation at all.
Yeah.
And he just went on low level blood pressure medicine. So like, yeah, I don't know. It's just super frustrating.
Yes. So I want to talk to you about this on a couple of angles. First, which is what I asked you on Facebook, but I haven't gone back there because I came here. Are you at least meeting your own needs at this point?
Yes, but then it's at the same time, it's like, well, this isn't very exciting, but.
Got it. Yes. Well, so you can make that more exciting and we can talk about that, but that's not why you're here asking this question. So we can talk about that in the Facebook group if you want, because you can excite up your own world a little bit more than probably most of us do. But let's talk about this dynamic, right? He doesn't want to talk about it because he's embarrassed, which is really normal. Like if you were here at the beginning of the call, I talked about that. Shame and embarrassment is so common with dysfunction of any sort for vulva and penis owners. It sounds like he's embarrassed. He just like, I'm out. I'd rather not deal with it than talk about it. But so oftentimes, like if you can actually talk about it, first of all, like, has he actually seen a doctor? Does he have a diagnosis? There's a lot of things that can be done if he's interested in doing something about it. And there's no shame in that game. I've been on here. I've talked about my own husband's situation. And like, urologists are very skilled at supporting men specifically in this area. So like, him getting over his shame would be a possibility. But do you want to talk to him about your needs?
I do,
but
he's not really good about talking about his feelings and or other people's feelings.
Yeah.
Like he just doesn't do it. So it's hard because I've tried to approach him. The last time I did, he was like, it just doesn't work.
Okay.
And that I was like, okay. And I actually tried. I drank quite a bit to get the nerve up to do it. But I actually tried and I was denied. He said he was too tired. And so I asked, can we just lay skin to skin? And he asked, he was like, well, what do you mean? Because I think he was thinking like all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we laid there and pretty soon he's like snoring. And I was like, okay, well, that's awesome.
Well, to start,
but it,
right? Like,
it solidified that he was tired, but.
Yeah. Okay. So I love that you brought this up because, like, that is asking to meet your human need, the skin to skin. And also, there are so many things two couples can do when there's erectile dysfunction, when there's any dysfunction. If you're a same-sex partner and there's any sort of dysfunction, there are so many ways to be intimate with each other. We have mouths, we have hands, we have tools. There are a lot of ways that you could experience pleasure. Is he open in any way to any of the other possibilities other than the classic penetration?
I haven't had the conversation, but he's from Idaho. He's like a good old boy. And like, I think he would think that was weird.
All right. I'm going to give you a tidbit of information.
Okay.
I lived in Idaho for a very short period of time near my parents in Eastern Oregon while my dad had stage 4 cancer. It turns out that the biggest sex toy warehouse is right outside of Boise.
That's hilarious.
The biggest sex toy population is the state of Idaho.
Well, he definitely was not participating in that. That's hilarious.
There's a lot of people of faith that behind the scenes use some toys.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to know that a conservative belief system, a good old boy, doesn't mean he doesn't like some good oral sex or wouldn't be maybe open to giving you some, but it takes a conversation.
Right. Yeah. No, he won't even do that. I've asked him when
you've asked him and he won't do it.
No, because he was a virgin when we got married and I like taught him how to kiss and he was 22.
Okay.
So, and I am very much the opposite spectrum of that. So, yeah. So with all that, my vibe is
legitimately he's out.
That's what I'm thinking, but it's I don't know.
Okay, so I just want to know, like, if you're open to like one last conversation about this with him, because that would be the angle right there. That would be the angle is like, okay, I really need to know, are you legit out? Is your expectation that we never have a single other sexual encounter solely because your penis doesn't function the way it used to? Like, is that your true life expectations? Like, I love you. I'm attracted to you. I'm willing to try things if you are. But I need to know. Like, is this your true expectation? We're never talking about it again and we're never doing anything again.
I can do that.
Because that's the work. If you are doing that and you get an answer to that and then you want support, I would invite you to come to our next call so that we can work on whatever the answer is. If you don't want to wait until May's call, you could come to Ask Coaches and let me know what you got as an answer so that I can support you through whatever it is. But Communication is so key. A lot of people don't think about it like that, and time gets away from them. Time gets away from them. And having a really frank conversation and just asking very straight, like, we're in our 40s. Do you literally, like, low 40s, do you literally never expect us to have any sort of intimate contact again? Because if the answer is yes, I need to know that. And if the answer is like, no, then okay, then let's like come up with a plan to work towards some sort of satisfying intimate connection.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Do you feel empowered enough to have a conversation like that?
Yeah, I can. I just have to find the right time.
You do you, sister. When you've had that and whatever support you need or want after that, you know where to find me.
Okay. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome, Ryan. It's good to see you. And I just want you to know you're not alone. And whatever the outcome, if you want to come to the next call, raise your hand. We'll continue working on it from whatever information you get. So either create something satisfying for you or create a plan for the two of you. You name it, we could do it. But I'm here to support you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Good to see you.
You too.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We've got a few questions here. So, wow. Ryan, amazing. Everybody tonight, amazing. Thank you so much. Okay. Becky, I feel like I'm interested in having sex with my husband, yet when the time comes, I don't have the interest. I feel like a tease to him. Any thoughts on what's going on? I've regained some weight and know my body image has tanked. Okay. Yes, I think like first the fact that you understand you have thoughts about your body that are affecting this, I think is really good awareness. And second, so oftentimes our mouths write checks our body isn't prepared to cash. So it's very easy to say yes to a spouse early in the day when they're like, hey, wink, wink, nod, nod, how about? And then the day adds up and we haven't done the things that we need to do to kind of prepare ourselves. So then you have, you know, mom with Alzheimer's and boss that's throwing a temper tantrum or a five-year-old or whatever you have. And the next thing you know, you get to the moment when you're about to be presented with the sex and you're like, I'm so out. And so Becky, we can talk about this more and ask coaches if you want to come in specific to your needs. But from the Q&A here, my recommendation is to really like when you get asked, whether it's direct or it's innuendo, I want you to really think about it and say yes when you really want to do it. And then it becomes your responsibility at that point, just like with managing our minds and setting intentions with our thinking. This is the same thing. If you are deciding to say yes, first of all, you always get to say no, but you don't like it. You're saying, I feel like I'm teasing him. So that would mean saying yes really intentionally. And then setting about the day, planning ahead, like, what are you going to do to be in the mood for yourself? How are you going to take care of you? What things feel good to you that get you in the mood? Do you need to de-stress some? Maybe you got a kid. Maybe he could give them the bath. You got bills to pay. Maybe they could be paid earlier in the day so that you can declutter your brain and get yourself prepared. But I'm going to say it again. I know it's a repeat, but you always have a right to say no. But what's the fun in saying yes and then always saying no? What I hear you asking for is wanting to say yes and mean yes. And that takes setting the intention and setting yourself up for success. Okay. Anonymous, let's talk vibrators. Sure. I love to talk about vibrators. I found that using a vibrator has inhibited my ability to have an orgasm in other ways now. I think the vibrator has negatively affected me. Okay. You're not alone, actually. That can kind of happen, especially depending on the kind you use. Like you can kind of overly like create sensitivity and it actually can impact how your body functions. So my recommendation to you would be, well, first make sure there's nothing truly medically going wrong. Check with a physician if you're concerned. And then experiment. I've held it up before, but I'm going to pull out my puppet. People, you can laugh if you want. So this is your vulva. This is what a true clitoris looks like. The whole organ is the clitoris. Most of us focus the head of a vibrator right here on that knob, okay? But the reality is there are 1,000 or more nerve endings along the whole clitoris, all along. And so my recommendation to you would be, first, maybe use a little less vibration. And then second, really work on stimulating the outside of your clitoris and not just focusing on the knob. When I was talking about like 20 minutes to engorge your vulva to be ready for penetration, it's the same thing. You could do like 20 minutes of outside stimulation and you'll notice that the organ itself will start to engorge with blood, will plump up, will kind of open up almost like a flower. That's why people have described the vagina and the vulva like a flower, because it kind of does do that. And so less focus here, more focus on the outside edge. Let me know and ask coaches if you need more support with that or if you have more details and we can work out a real plan for you specifically. Okay. Would I please give an example of how open dialogue with a long-term partner who seems to either be lost interest, has issues maintaining an erection, our age, early, late 60s? So yeah, so a little bit like Ryan, but maybe a little less like straight to the point like that. But a conversation where it's face-to-face, there's no TV, you're not sitting side by side on recliners or in chairs, but you're like really head-on eye contact. Saying like, I'd like to have a conversation with you, let the person prepare for it. So like, could we have a conversation that talks about sex? Is now a good time or is there a better time? So giving that choice. Really leaving space for each person to be heard. So setting parameters, like I would like to discuss blah, blah, blah with you. And I'd like you to listen to what I have to say. And if you have questions, if you could limit them to understanding what I'm saying only. And then once I feel fully understood and we've exhausted my side of this transaction, this conversation, then I'm going to ask you, do you have anything you want to talk about? And then you're going to listen without interrupting. You're going to avoid you're going to avoid pointing. You're going to avoid, always type statements where it's very like, you always do this or that. You are going to articulate your own needs as clearly and concisely as possible. And from a place that's non-threatening, like for example, for me, I would say, I need a fair amount of foreplay. It's very hard for me to get out of my head and into my body. And if we jump just directly to any sort of penetration and I'm a little bit uncomfortable because I'm not ready, then I'm immediately out. It's like I've thrown on my brake. So that's something that I've learned about me and I wanted to share it with you. And then what do you think about that? And then you can ask your partner, would you mind, like, would you tell me about your needs? What would you like? Ask open-ended questions and leave space. There's no room in a conversation like that to like counter what someone says. So if they say, well, I like to be touched here. And you're like, well, I do that. You want to totally like regulate yourself, calm yourself and soothe yourself in such a way that you can just receive what they're saying. And by having that like really good back and forth open, then that dialogue happens and you can kind of get somewhere with it. So I know we have two more. I'm sorry we're running a couple minutes long. My libido is close to zero. My husband is attractive and desiring. I tried to talk to my doc, no good response. 54, two tweens, natural. It's physical and more it's physical and maybe emotional, not really body issues, although overweight. Oh my gosh. I really do recommend you talk to a physician that's more of an expert in sexual function, a sexologist. I actually was looking for a resource to provide this call. If you go to Ask Coaches and tell me what state you're in, I'll pull some people for you. There are people who specialize in this, but every gynecologist does not specialize in this. And physicians do insane length of time to become qualified, but oftentimes gynecologists are about birthing. And most people who go, anybody who's been for a pap smear or annual or anything like that, you know that the doctor generally doesn't ask you if you're having orgasms, if you can have them, or any of those kinds of things, if you have a libido. So it's fine that that doctor didn't have an answer for you, because not everyone will, but I highly recommend you do talk to a doctor. And then, just like we've talked about, there are ways to kind of like increase our own libido. 54, so I'm 51. There is a book called, Lisa, you know it, Naked at Our Age, I believe. And that book talks about keeping your vulva alive and well, and that organ needs, it needs attention, it needs care, it needs use in sense of like getting the blood flow to it. And so I would highly recommend that book to honestly any woman, so she understands her own aging process. It's incredible. So, but Anonymous, you can always pop in to Ask Coaches if you want to be more specific with me, and then we can talk even more about it. And the last question, Lisa, I know you're like a really different time zone than me. I apologize. How do you become comfortable with the idea that hubby would rather read porn than be intimate with me? I don't have an issue with porn, but would like to enjoy it with him, but he just doesn't want to talk about it. Okay, Kelly, first, there's sort of two versions of this. So I'm going to answer the best I can, but I have been working on this with someone in Ask Coaches recently, a similar type topic. And so sometimes like getting into your specifics can be helpful in this regard, but that's not always the case in coaching, but it can be with this. So if there's erectile dysfunction, then a man who uses porn knows exactly what it takes to kind of get as stimulated as is possible and understands all the ways to self-pleasure. So that makes sense. If this person just really, really likes porn and isn't interested in being with you, look, I am not a doctor. I am not qualified to talk about like porn addiction, but there is such a thing. There are doctors that specialize in that. There are psychologists that specialize in that, I should say, psychiatrists that specialize in that. So, I mean, there's not a lot you can do if your partner absolutely refuses, but conversations can be really helpful in that, like, you are even willing to enjoy it with him and he doesn't want to talk about it. The talking would be about maybe, I'm just stabbing in the dark because I don't know all the details, maybe about judgment, about self-acceptance. Maybe he's embarrassed about the kinds of things he likes to look at. And maybe that's okay. He can look at that. Maybe there's something that you could find between you that would be a crossover. And maybe that is just exactly what you need to like open the door to the conversation, is like, I just want to talk to you about it. Like, you watch this. I'm fine with you doing it. You don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. Are you embarrassed? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Is there shame? Is there judgment? Like, I don't care what you look at. I may not want to look at everything you do. So, okay. I know we have to go. Anyone else that has a question, you're welcome to go to Ask Coaches. It was an honor being here with all of you. Thank you for allowing us to run just a couple minutes long. Take care. Thanks. Enjoy your body. It's like your one true life entitlement. It's yours. It's yours to enjoy. Bye now.